Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I drop my kids off at school and deliver an episode to you while I walk home. I'm Brendan Riley. Well, good morning. It's March 22nd, and I'm happy to be talking to you from suburban Chicago. It's a chilly day today. It feels like that second winter I talked about in my last episode. So hopefully you are staying warm wherever you're taking your walks this time of year. I thought today I'd try something new. It's a show type. So I've already got a couple show types. I've got my sort of general musings on the world or on game philosophy or life, whatever. I've got my Designers I Really Like series where I talk about designers who have a prominent place in my game collection. I think I've done two of those so far. Although I don't know if I've released two of those so far. Ooh, one's a mystery. Ooh, what will it be? Or what was it, I guess? So I was thinking about a new one, and I'm gonna call it Shooting from the Hip. So the phrase shooting from the hip, of course, means drawing a gun and shooting very quickly without taking time to aim or be careful. And in this context, I'm going to use that to give a 15-minute dissertation, discussion, conversation on a game I've only played one time. So basically what I'm going to do is, when I play a new game, sometimes I'll have thoughts about it that I want to share. I guess I kind of did this once in my episode on being surprised when I talked about Grim Forest, because the pieces in Grim Forest were pretty darn neat, and I think it was fun to talk about them in the context of how they surprised me, and the game surprised me with its depth. So today I want to talk about Rex, The Final Days of an Empire. Now Rex is a game from Fantasy Flight Games, designed by Corey Konietzka, who has made waves recently as one of the lead designers, or the lead designer for Star Wars Rebellion. And you can definitely see artifacts of Rex in Star Wars Rebellion. But Rex itself was already a reimagining of an earlier game, Dune. So famously, Dune is one of the most amazing trading, area control, diplomacy type games in the history of board gaming. Or at least it carries that stamp because nobody can get a hold of it to try it out now. It's long out of print, and apparently the Herbert Estate is notoriously fussy with their licenses. And so Twilight, or Fantasy Flight Games, who made the Dune game, then they decided they would make a new version of it using the same mechanisms, but reskinning it so that it's not using the Dune license. And since they already have this Terranoth universe, or the Twilight Imperium universe, which I think are supposed to be the same thing? I don't know. They have the Twilight Imperium universe already. They decided that they would set it at the end of an empire, so it's actually sort of like the beginning of the game of Twilight Imperium. It takes place on Mechatol, which if you've played TI is the center of the game board and supposed to be like this big city planet super place. In the instructions for Rex, it calls it the crown jewel of the Laxan Empire. And the Laxan are the current reigning species that is now on the wane. Their emperor has died, and the wolves have come to feast. Or the vultures. I say vultures because I played the Laxans in this game. So in Rex, it's an area control game, so you have a board with a bunch of spots on it, and there's influence, which is the currency of the game, that appears in random ways. And the goal of the game is to spread your forces out over the board in such a way that you control three of these five strongholds. And if at the end of a round you control three of the five strongholds, you win the game. Straight up. There are points in the game where you can make alliances, and over the course of the game, if you make an alliance and then you win the game with your allied partner, you need four strongholds to win with one alliance, or five to win with two alliances. So a three-person team can win the game by holding all five strongholds. A two-person team can win by holding four of the five. Otherwise, to win solo, you have to hold three of the five. And it's a fairly big board, but it's fairly tight. And then there's a lot of battle. there's a little bit of negotiation, and part of the highlight of the game is that there are variable player powers. So each player has their own special thing they do, which makes their race play very differently from the other races. And so leaning into those powers seems to be a big part of it. So I played this for the first time last night with three other people. Three? It was a five-player game. With four other people, none of whom had played the game before either. So we were all fresh out of the boat on this one. One person had read the rules thoroughly, a couple of the others of us had skimmed them, and so we all kind of muddled through, which I think made the game take longer than it should have. It took about 3.5 hours. It probably should have taken 2 to 2.5. I imagine if you have experienced players, people who've played it more than a couple times, the game takes 2 hours, probably. I would say, probably, if you're new to the game, there's just so much to think about that it takes a little bit longer. Plus, like a lot of Fantasy Flight games of this ilk or this era, it has a lot of little things to keep track of, what some people would call fiddly, that make it more complicated than is otherwise necessary. So my initial thoughts of the game are I really liked it for the most part. I like the games with lots of fiddly little bits, apparently. So games that have, you know, seven phases in a round, and there's a negotiation, and there's bidding, and there's the war involves a kind of bluffing element. It's all good. I really like that part. The special powers are pretty good. One of the players at the table thought that they were really unbalanced. My take on it was not that they were unbalanced so much as that we're all new to the game, so we can't really tell how to use them yet. I mean, we figured out a little bit. There were a couple people who were really strong about that, but for the most part, it was not easy to tell exactly how to use your powers, or you had to kind of figure it out as you went along. And so that part was a little tricky, and I think over time, you'd probably get better at it. Although I would also think that it would push you in a certain direction, like being the Laxan players, whenever someone bought a strategy card, which you need strategy cards and you get four over the course of the game, that whenever someone buys those, I get the money instead of having the money go into the pool. But that meant that for me, the early game, I was flush with money because people were buying strategy cards and then I was getting the money. But as the game goes on, you get four cards in hand, then you can't get any more. And when you win a battle, you get to keep your cards that you use. So people aren't getting rid of their cards as much as they could or should. And so toward the end of the game, I actually found myself pretty low on money, or influence, I guess. Because the other thing you use influence for is to put your troops onto the board or to get new troops if they've been killed. And so everybody was using their influence that way, but there's another guy who gets money every time somebody pays influence to put their troops on the board. So he was racking up tons of money toward the end of the game. He actually had so much he didn't even know what to do with it. Just sort of piled up over there. So that part was tough toward the end of the game. So the things I liked about it, I liked the varying player powers. I liked the idea of battling for control over the board, especially if everybody kind of knows there's a game where you lose lots of troops and you're going to lose battles and win battles. That part's fun. I like the wide variety of things the game can do, although that also is a negative for me. I like the theming, the idea of these different races, the planets. There's one element that was pretty neat there. So the idea is one of the races is actually actively attacking the planet, and that's the Federation of S-O-L, Sol, which is Earth, humans. And they are trying to take over by bombing. And so there's this fleet of dreadnoughts that are flying around the board, blowing stuff up. And if you're not careful, you could get stuck in the path of these bombers and lose all your stuff. Now there are about a third to a half of the space on the board have domes, which means they're shielded from the bombardment. And that means you only lose the space if you only lose your things if you're at one of the non-shielded spaces. So that makes it easier, but you have to kind of pay attention to where the bombers are and how long it's gonna take them to get back around. Things I didn't like. You know, I just said that I like that there's all sorts of different things that can happen and it's sort of wild and crazy. I liked that, except that if you're new to the game, you don't know all the things that could possibly happen, and it really messes with your planning. For instance, I had one thing where I had this fortification, and I had a pretty big pile of dudes there, or dudes and dudettes, soldiers. I was leaving them there to hold this space, and it was domed, and the enemy was coming, and so I decided to just wait till the big bombers pass by, and then I would be able to do stuff. But in the meantime, I'd be holding one of the strongholds. Well, one of the other players got a card that lets you basically destroy the dome on any one place. And so he sent one troop in, so he had somebody there. Then he played the card that let him destroy the dome. And then I won the battle against his one troop. And then I lost all my guys because the bombers came by. And on one hand, a swingy game like that can be really fun. On the other hand, I really don't like games where you kick over each other's sandcastles. And that in particular felt really crummy compared to some of the other things in the game. I mean, I think I took it with good spirits or took it as part of the game. But if I'd known there was a card that could result in the dome being destroyed, I probably would have played a little differently, or at least I would have kind of been expecting that that's possible. I mean, there are a couple cards that really mess with your opponents. And if you don't know those cards exist, it's hard to plan for them. So that part was really kind of an onion in the ointment for me. The other thing was the game took too long. And so by the end, a couple of players had checked out. One literally left because we were playing in the evening and he had to work in the morning. So we had one race that in the last round of the game was just not doing anything because the player literally had to leave. And hey, and I don't know, hard feelings. I understand, because the game took longer than it was supposed to. But it's not my favorite when a game takes too long, because people get disconnected. And so that part's not my favorite. But overall, I really liked Rex, and I think it would be fun to play a couple more times to get the feel for it, and to see whether it's something I want to keep in my collection or not. We actually didn't play my copy, but I'm still removing it from my shelf of opportunity, because I have played it. So that was Rex, Final Days of an Empire from Fantasy Flight Games. I think that's it for me today. If you have comments, if you've played Rex or other games like it, Game of Thrones or Star Wars Rebellion or Dune, the epic Dune, send me a note via Twitter at Rattlebox Games or by email, brendan@rattleboxgames.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope that your next walk is as pleasant as mine was. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.